Hello and welcome to the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution. I'm Stephanie Wilson here today with Emmy Colton. Emmy is an LA-based health coach, fitness expert, and mom to her one-year-old James. Her approach to wellness is simple and mindful. She's here to not give you strict regimens, food plans, or weight loss secrets. Instead, her goal is to help you live a balanced lifestyle, create a positive environment around food and fitness, and develop the tools you need to thrive in your everyday life, pregnancy, and beyond. Hi, Emmy.
Hi, thank you for the introduction.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to have you here with us today.
I'm so excited. This is something that I absolutely am very passionate about, so I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So what would you consider the most important thing a woman could do before conception to prepare her body for a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby, and a healthy postpartum experience?
I really love this question because I think there's so many things that we can do before conception. I think there's this misconception that, you know, you decide to have a baby, you get pregnant, and then it's take a prenatal and don't eat this or that, and you're good to go. But there's actually so much more we can do to prepare our bodies before we're even pregnant. One of them being, and it's very simple, but I feel like the number one thing is taking a prenatal vitamin, maybe a year or even more years before you even want to start trying for a baby. Mm-hmm. I honestly think every woman in their reproductive years should be on a prenatal. Mm-hmm. Because having that, I mean, a supplement is a supplement. It's not a magic pill, but having that kind of baseline in your diet will really help just build up your nutrient stores. Because when you get pregnant, you really don't know you're pregnant until 6, 7, 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that happens in those first 6 weeks of conception. There's just like really the most critical weeks of pregnancy, of development. Mm-hmm. And so taking a prenatal months, years before is really helpful.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I like that you mentioned anyone in their reproductive years. And even if you think you aren't going to get pregnant anytime soon, it doesn't hurt. It's kind of just in place of your multivitamin, but it has those benefits if you accidentally did, right?
No, exactly. And I think, even how much we can be depleted on birth control or just in different aspects of our life, that it's just, it doesn't do any harm. It just does a lot of good. But I will mention too, it's really important to know what to look for in a vitamin. You really want to focus on a whole food, plant-based, 100% organic source vitamin, because there can be a lot of vitamins with synthetic forms or a lot of sugars or fillers or artificial flavors if you go like a more gummy form. So you really want to look for the highest quality vitamin, and trying to get in a capsule or tablet is typically the best form.
For women who aren't used to reading those labels and knowing what they're looking for, are there a couple maybe top brands or a couple pointers that they should look for, other than, of course, you're saying it's organic, but are there any that you work with a lot whenever you're working with clients?
Yeah, I use and really love Megafood. They're prenatal vitamin and postnatal vitamin if you're postpartum. They also have a women's daily if you aren't necessarily thinking of trying them the next few years, but really just want to have like a baseline of a vitamin. They source all plant food, 100% organic, and just have a really good brand. And I really trusted them. Mm-hmm. I've also heard good things about Ritual, though I've never used them, but I've known that they are also very careful about the ingredients that they put into their capsules and pills.
I second both of that. I took Mega Food through my pregnancy, and my little 3-year-old takes Ritual vitamins now. So really? I completely agree with
those. We know.
Great recommendations.
I think that those are great.
How a woman would you also recommend, because I know Mega Food has two different options. They have one for, it's the MT, I'm always getting these mixed up, MTHFR, right? The whether or not that they're processing the folate the right way.
Yeah.
They, even if you aren't planning to get pregnant right now, if you're going to start taking the prenatals, you probably should get tested for that, even if you're a year out, right?
Yes, I was going to say, I think also a huge thing that important thing for women to do before conception is to get a blood work done. Go to your doctor, OBGYN, or just basic doctor, and have them do a full panel of blood work for you to test where you're depleted in nutrients, where you might be not able to process nutrients as well. That way you can really know how to use your supplements for you instead of just taking things that might not necessarily be working for you.
That's excellent advice. What about also a woman where she stands weight-wise? Do you feel like there's a healthy weight she should probably strive to be at prior to conceiving that is going to include, help her? You don't want to be underweight. You don't want to be overweight either whenever you're going into pregnancy. Is there a certain like BMI or a weight that you want a woman to maintain, or is it just about her diet?
I tend to not really focus on a certain number because it's going to vary so much with people. And I think we know a lot now as a beat with BMI, it really doesn't cater to women because women naturally tend to hold more fat, and it's important for our reproductive years to hold more fat. So I would say that the more we can focus on nourishing our body and adding good things in, I mean, I really tend to strive away from like good versus bad, but just adding like nutrient dense foods in and really focusing on moving your body and strengthening your body, because pregnancy, labor, postpartum, it's all a very physical feat. And so we do need to make sure that our bodies are well nourished and are able to support us physically too. Our muscles are meant to be used and not stagnant before, during, and after pregnancy. So the more you can just kind of have those systems in place before, I think it will just help have a you to be in a good spot mentally, physically, emotionally.
How do you believe that that nutrition affects her experience? Whether she, if she, what if she goes in nutritionally deprived? What, how could that affect her postpartum experience, even what she's doing right now?
Yeah, I think the nutrition is a huge factor, not only during pregnancy and postpartum, but before, in the way it affects our mood and the way we're able to show up for ourselves and people in our life. So I think a huge thing too with food is focusing on the quality of it. Where does it come from? Where are those animals or plants? What are those animals and plants exposed to? Looking for like grass-fed, pasture-raised proteins and eggs, which are able to give you more nutrients from the diet of those animals. Sprouting and soaking foods and grains. There's just a lot of ways that are really important to kind of level up the nutrient density in our bodies, and the way it's expressed in our bodies, and the way it's absorbed too, and how that can be the most beneficial.
I saw that you use a lot of sea moss in your smoothies and such on your Instagram. What is sea moss good for, and how can we integrate that into our diets more?
Yeah, I'm really kind of, I mean, it's actually new to my diet. I feel like it's, hitting the trendy wellness space. There's always like trends that come up. But any like sea vegetables, sea creatures, algae, chlorophyll, sea moss, they're all just full of these micronutrients and minerals that are really beneficial in our bodies, like full of antioxidants, full of calcium, these trace minerals that just help express like the best parts of our nutrition and genes.
Speaking of fads, what about detoxing? How do you feel about, is there certain detoxes we should do, certain ones we should stay away from? How do you feel about detoxing?
I think that detoxing can have like a really, it can be like a really heavy word. It can feel like you need to do like a cleanse or like be so depleted, like a fast or a juice cleanse, which I kind of feel like it's just never really beneficial. I mean, maybe in certain circumstances, but I do think it is important to consider detoxing as a way, instead of thinking like, okay, what do I eliminate? More so like, what can I add in and change to benefit my body and environment? So when thinking about conceiving, I think it's important before to really think about the environment that you're not only creating in your body, but in your home. So looking at what cleaning products you're using, what shampoos and conditioners, face makeup, sunscreen, all these things that really can affect our microbiome, our hormone balances, and play an issue with our stress levels, heavy metals in our body. So really taking a good look at that, a great website to test whether or not the things that you're using are like low in chemicals, toxins, pesticides is the EWG. I'm sure you might be familiar with it. Mm-hmm. So the EWG, they test hundreds and hundreds of products and they give it a score. And it helps you know, like, okay, like this is actually a good product to have in my home. They also test like food products, makeup. They are also the ones that put out the clean 15 and the dirty dozen when it comes to food. So that means like where to buy organic. The clean 15 means like you don't necessarily have to buy these food items organic because they don't carry the heaviest pesticides. Like they have a good shell on them, so like avocado, like they're kind of protected by the way that they are as a fruit or vegetable. But the dirty dozen are like strawberries, cabbage, things that are very heavily exposed to these pesticides that when buying organic, they're probably the most important. They are the most important to buy. Mm-hmm. So I think that's in terms of detoxing, that's like the important thing to look at is just like, what am I being exposed to and how can I try and eliminate those things in my environment.
Mm-hmm. And our bodies naturally are detoxing, of course. It's a natural process that happens every mm-hmm. day while we're breathing, we're detoxing. So when you're eliminating the toxic load, like you're saying, and we just take out some things that may have more toxins in them, it's just naturally going to help our body do what it's already doing on a gentle level anyways, right?
No, exactly. I think it then helps your body to be optimizing instead of like working overtime of trying to catch up and rid itself of even more toxins and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you believe is the best thing a woman could do to prepare her body for labor and delivery?
Oh, so many things to but I think we touched on it a bit before, but I think definitely exercise.
Yeah.
Like it really is, if you're going to do one thing, I think maintaining or developing a good habit of exercising is probably the most important thing. Definitely check in with your doctor. You know, there can be certain circumstances with prolapse or all these other things that can play a part into the level of exercise you can do. But for the most part, a healthy woman can continue to exercise as she did before. And you know, throughout her pregnancy, and it's going to be extremely beneficial for a faster, smoother, less tears, all these things in your labor.
Mm-hmm. So I know normal exercising, squats, and especially the rebounder are really good at working and strengthening that pelvic floor, but should women also be focusing on like Kegel exercises? We don't usually think about that when we're thinking of fitness.
Yes, I think squats are huge. They say like doing 100 squats a day or so or more mm-hmm. can really help speed the labor towards the end of pregnancy. But yeah, I think focusing on Kegel, or it's more so like breathing techniques with your diaphragm.
Oh, yeah.
How you wrap your abdominal muscles around your body. It's, you know, when we think of abs, a lot of times we think of sit-ups or crunches, but the most effective ab work is actually breathing. And when you're pregnant, you can't really do a lot of the like crunches and things. So this is actually really important to maintain and keep up because there can be a lot of ab separation, which is natural, but you want to try and protect that abdominal wall as much as you can. And so folk working on a lot of breathing techniques, there's so many amazing instructors out there or programs that really help with pregnant women to help build and maintain that abdominal wall and that strength throughout pregnancy to have good labor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make a good point. Whenever you're actually in labor, you want it to be sort of muscle memory that you need to be in that squatting position and not having to figure it out then. You want to be strong and you want to be used to doing, like you said, 100 squats a day, where it's just like when it's really, really hard to do it and you don't want to, it's just more of a muscle memory thing.
Yes, and same with breath work. It's funny, you're like, oh, I know how to breathe, but there
Right.
really is a practice that goes into it and a mindfulness because it is a technique that you have to work on.
So how can women work on their breath work? That's not something we hear about as much as fitness. How can they do that now?
I think that similar to so many habits in your life, just dedicating time in your day or morning or evening to 5, 10 minutes, build up from there. Focusing on your meditation or breath work. For me, I have reframed meditation in my mind. I used to feel like meditation meant that I had to just sit completely still and reach this complete stillness. But I've learned to use kind of meditation to work for me and use it as a time that I do reconnect with myself and take that moment to pause. But I also am connecting with my breath, and there's a lot of amazing practices around breath work that I think implementing early on can help you just have that habit already in your toolbox throughout pregnancy and especially during labor when, like you said, you just really feel like there's no time to think. It just has to be muscle memory. And then postpartum, when there's a lot of feels, there's a lot of unknown, there's a lot of newness, and just reconnecting to that was really beneficial to me.
I love that. I was already thinking that as soon as you mentioned breath work and immediately went to meditation, of course. And I also struggle, as I think a lot of us do, to keep up what we would like to do with meditating every day. But I don't know, in my mind, reframing it to think it's sort of my workout time that I'm going to focus on
Yeah.
my breathing instead of I have to sit here and be quiet. And I don't know.
I just think it's so hard for us to shut off our minds,
I
which I don't
know.
think it's meant to be. I listened to a podcast today and they said that meditation can be kind of like a conference call with yourself. Like that's when you don't have to stop your thoughts, like listen to your thoughts and listen to what they're saying to you and how you're feeling. So that really helped me too because I feel like I couldn't shut up my brain.
That's such a good idea, especially for all of these busy we are, in our mind, we're not productive unless we're staying busy. And I know I should be here promoting that we take a break, but if you don't want to take a break, just think of meditation as another conference call. I love that.
No, it really was a game changer for me.
Yes. And just to elaborate a little bit more, I like that you've gone into this because I think it can be beneficial. And stress is something we may not take super seriously as we should. It's easier to look at and measure nutrition and what we're focusing on in foods as opposed to measuring our stress. But that really would play into our stress levels. And I think not only, in this whole session that you're talking about, sitting down and focusing on breath work, you're also going to be relieving so much stress. Like that is taking away the anxiety, the stress, and you want to pass that on to baby. And that's a practice you definitely want to do, not after you've been pregnant for 6 weeks. Like you said, that baby's been there growing for 4 to 6 weeks before you know, and you could have been stressed out, not breathing. I mean, if you incorporate these meditations now, wherever you are in your journey, I mean, beforehand, you are going to be so much calmer and you're passing on, your nervous system on the baby too, or your baby's kind of mimicking it as it's in your belly. And I love that. I love that you went down that direction of meditation. I think it's so much more important than we even bring up.
No, I'm actually so glad you brought up stress because I had written that down as one of the most important things to manage before you get pregnant because stress raises cortisol, as we know, which actually uses progesterone to make. And progesterone is one of the hormones that are vital for maintaining the fertilized egg in the womb. And so when you have low levels of progesterone, not only does it decrease your chances of having your fertilized eggs stay, but it also can cause irregular periods and so many different hormonal effects. So managing stress before, during is just so important, like you said, for baby, for you, for your overall health. And there's, a lot of different techniques that can help and a lot of factors that go into it. So finding what works for you is really beneficial.
If someone doesn't like to sit down or just refuses to have this conference call with themselves, how can someone release stress? What should they be doing to really get into that mode.
You know, sometimes people can find stress relief through movement, yoga, walking outside, getting outside early in the morning when the sun is still rising, the first like, few hours of the morning. I think we all benefit from limited screen time, from having a really good sleep hygiene, and really making sure that we have a good routine with sleep and have the right environment for sleep. And, you know, a big part can also be talking with a therapist, which I think is healthy for everyone. That's actually also something I wanted to point out is that I think it's really important with any life change to have preventative therapy just to avoid, have the tools in your tool belt to avoid future conflict or when that conflict arises, similar to when you already have a good habit around eating or nutrition and exercise, like having good tools with therapy and any life change can be really beneficial. So that's something I made a priority with my husband and I when we were newly postpartum. I'm like, I feel like we're good now, but like we're gonna see a therapist just so we rip that bandaid off. We have her number. We know like that that's in our belt.
That's a really good idea. Good on you to get him to go though, because I'm not so sure my husband would be on up for that. That's amazing that you guys are on that same page. You mentioned sleep hygiene. How can a woman, what is that? How can she implement that into her schedule?
Sleep hygiene, I think, is something whether you are, a teenager, older, anyone in their life is really important to create in your life. So I think that limiting screen time, like an hour maximum or minimum 30 minutes before bed, making sure you're in a colder, cool room. I really love like a lavender magnesium spray on my body to kind of help set the tone for like trigger sleep in my body. It's really just things that we can do that help trigger the sleep response in your brain. I'm saying like, okay, it's bedtime now. We're shutting down for the day. Like if you are on your phone up until the minute you go to bed, I think that it's your brain's still wired. You have more wakeful sleep. It's harder to go to sleep. And it's just not doing exactly what your body needs to be doing during that sleep time.
Making sure that the room's entirely dark. Yeah.
Yes, I'm like a little crazy about it. I bring an eye mask everywhere because even just a sliver of light, I'm like, I see the light, I know it's there. I need pitch black. But it just honestly like has made such a difference in the quality of sleep that I'm getting.
You know what bugs me so much? I think it's a smoke detector in my room, and that little green light that tells me that it's working if there's a fire. And I can't bring myself to unplug it because I think, what if there's a fire
My
in my room?
anxiety would be too much higher.
My room's dark, but this green light. Oh, goodness.
Yes, I totally know what you mean.
I don't know. The eye mask, I can't quite get on board with yet. That's something you just have to get used to, I guess, being there.
It looks ridiculous or high maintenance, but it's really not. And I'm like, I just have, yeah, it's just now like one of my sleep cues.
And you know what, too, we don't realize we have receptors on our skin that we're also picking up light. Like, even whenever we are putting an eye mask on over, and you think that that's okay. Like, for instance, for someone who wants to sleep with lights on, but they put the eye mask on, your body's still picking up that light. Like, it's not just about closing it out over your eyes. Isn't that right?
Yes, no, exactly.
We
There's
definitely.
just, yeah, I mean, this is a kind of a tangent, but that's why when I was newly postpartum and nursing in the night, we used red lights when I would turn on to nurse, just so it can help keep that like sleepfulness. Not the, it didn't trigger the wakeful state in my brain and kind of
Right.
help me and baby go back to sleep faster.
That's a really good idea. Yep, to use a red light. Himalayan salt lamps kind of give off that pink red light as well.
Yes.
It's a really good idea. So when you, I'm curious, because I've seen so much of your Instagram and it's all healthy nutrition and for you and baby. Whenever you started feeding him solids, do you feel like he took better to healthy foods because you'd been yourself? He's already used to that nutrition and he's been around it from you and like the taste buds rather than being used to mama eating Doritos.
Yeah, I honestly think if you, I mean, kids are just sponges. I mean, even from the time that they're newborns, like they really see all that we're doing and they pick it up. And I think that when you just have certain things in your home and don't have other things, that they just recognize, like, oh, this is what food is to me, and this is what I'm supposed to eat. And we've never really been like forceful with it. It's just really come naturally, which I was really surprised. And I do think a huge part is just developing those habits as a family early on. Before he would like even before I was married, when we established it early on in our marriage and pregnancy postpartum. So I think it's he's just really picked up to those things. And now he loves like making green juice with us, and
Oh, he's drinking
he
his green
loves
smoothies.
Yeah,
I
these smoothies, and people would die that he was eating sardines early on. So
it.
there's just a lot of just things that I think the less you react to and just make it part of your life, then they pick up on too.
I love that. So, with the end in mind now, what could a woman do before conception to positively affect her postpartum experience?
This one, I don't know why this one makes me emotional being the mother. This one really gets me emotional because I feel like there's a lot that just isn't really prepared for before. So one of the biggest thing I think before conception is a woman can study all that she can about matrescence. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's the physical, emotional, hormonal, and social transition to becoming a mother. So similar to how a teenager, like a 10, 11, 12-year-old goes through adolescence, the process of becoming an adult. There's just a lot of hormone shifts for them. They go through puberty. We as adults have a lot of grace for them. We're like, they're teenagers, they're going through adolescence, like let's help them. Similar to that, like women literally go through these physical, emotional, hormonal, social transitions. You don't just have a baby and it's like, okay, you're a mom and you're still that same person. It's like, no, researchers can scan a brain of a woman who has never had a baby and a woman who has had a baby, and they can literally tell the difference between the brains because you are changing in so many ways.
I didn't
Isn't
know
that
that.
crazy? No, it's
Yes.
wild.
So what could you elaborate more on matrescence? How'd you say that?
Matrescence. It's something that's really not talked about as, I mean,
Right.
I didn't really know until I think I first learned about it a couple months postpartum, and I felt this overwhelming, like I just started crying. So I'm like, wait, this is how I've been feeling. And it's just a time where you physically change, hormonally are different, socially you're shifting your relationships, your belief systems. You might have this change in like identity, and it's just this process, and it takes time. And they actually say that it doesn't, that period doesn't end until your youngest child is 7 years old.
Oh.
And so it's just this long period of like, transitioning that I think that there's needs to be so much more understanding and grace and connection. And anciently, women used to gather in tribes, and they would sit a new mom down or a newly pregnant mom down, and these, women of all different stages of motherhood would just talk about this transition and talk about what it meant for them. And I feel like we've lost a lot of that along the way, but it's something that we all desperately need as new moms, women, just to feel that transition connection.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's something good women should at least read about, whether they fully understand it until they've gone through it. You know, they still have that idea that it is going to be just like we kind of all come up to puberty and that transition. Like we kind of know, we hear about it, we hear adults talking about it, and oh, they're turning into a teenager. We kind of know, but we don't know what it's going to be like. But similarly, the same thing, it's just not talked about the same way.
No, exactly. And similar to how menopause, like then you have that transition. Like there is a huge transition with motherhood that, like you said, like you really can't fully comprehend until you're in it. But I think having that knowledge and just having the systems in place. So I think the more you and your partner can learn about it and talk through, like, okay, what in this scenario in the future, like what's the help in our home going to look like? How am I going to find time for myself? How are you going to find time for yourself? How are we going to find it together? Like when I'm feeling these ways, what can we do together, or how can I feel supported? So there's just so much preemptive things that I think can really help, because that first year is just, you're such in the thick of it and you really just sometimes don't know even why you're feeling the certain ways. And so it just, the ability to have, you know, podcasts or books, so there's a lot of research out now, thankfully. So the more you can research it, the better.
You do, you change. And I know it's sounds like a scary thing if you aren't a mom yet and you think, I don't want to change. I don't want that. I want to be me. You are still you, but you're like this dynamic, amazing, incredible version of you. You just transform.
A more expansive version, I feel.
Yes. And I want women to be more excited about that than fearful of it. And I love that you're bringing up
being trusted. I feel like, I'm sure you feel this way, that I feel like my baby has just given me even more purpose in this life. And I feel like I have more clarity in my career, my work, my what, how I'm spending my time. Like, you just have to be more efficient in all these things. And so it's, yeah, it's different, but it's just a more beautiful version of it.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you think women should be tested for or know about her body prior to conceiving?
I really feel confident that we've covered so much of like of the things that are important. You know, I think getting that full panel blood work, just knowing what works and doesn't work in your life and body, building those systems and habits in place, so that you can feel, you know, confident that you can fall back on these things that you already do and know. Developing a good workout plan and habits and eating system, and finding a community around you. I think that's a huge part.
Absolutely. And you share so much of this information, both for women who are in the post or in the pre-pregnancy period all the way through postpartum. I know on your Instagram and Pinterest, if anyone wants to have Emmy part of their tribe and who you're following and learning more about, you can definitely contact her through her Instagram, Pinterest, and her email is on this page that you're looking at here or listening to us here. And Emmy's also giving a daily wellness check-in. Could you share a little bit more about what that entails?
Yes, this is something I actually use in my own life, and it just helps me at the end of the day to see, you know, if I was feeling off, it's like, oh, okay, I didn't do these certain things that I know make me feel good. Or so there's just, you know, ways that you can help support yourself, like your goals, checking off that you took your supplements, writing down your thoughts and feelings for the day, where you felt like you thrived, where you felt like, you know, you could improve or just give yourself grace. So I think that the more information that we can have and data on ourselves, we can back and say like, oh yeah, this really worked or this didn't. It's just really helpful. You know, now I'm a year and a half postpartum. It was really helpful during pregnancy, before, if you're just starting into the health and wellness space. So yeah, reach out to me on my Instagram or email and I will send it to you for free.
Awesome. We have her website and Instagram here. It's emmyapproved.com and her email is on there, or you can email her at emmyapproved@gmail.com and she will send that out to you so you can get started on your wellness journey today. Emmy, thank you so much for joining me. This has been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.